Now, yesterday I mentioned that in this context that for those of you who were here yesterday, there would be bonus points available if you could make a connection between the book of Colossians, this passage in Colossians, and our theme of the practice of unity. So does anybody have a proposal for how that might work? Anybody going to put in a slip for the bonus, potential bonus points? Okay, well, maybe you'll have another chance tomorrow, we'll see. But I'll give you the answer today. My answer is that I'd like to turn to the book of Philemon. Right before Hebrews. And actually, if we had looked back in Colossians chapter 1, I kind of meant to do that, in fact. There's a link between Colossians and Philemon.
Mm-hmm.
What's the link? Well, the link is verse 10 of Philemon. The link is this man Onesimus. Onesimus is mentioned in Colossians chapter 1. Actually, you just stay where you are. I'm going to just turn back to Colossians chapter 1 because it's really a nice mention. I don't want to overlook it. He says in Colossians chapter 1, sorry, maybe it's not chapter 1. Sorry, it's chapter 4. Yes, chapter 4. It's not in the beginning, it's near the end. Chapter 4, he says that he's sending Tychicus, verse 7, verse 9, with Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Onesimus is from Colossae. Well, it turns out in Philemon, we find out how he was from Colossae. And if you know the story of the book of Philemon, this letter, this very short letter, I saw one commentator call it a postcard. It's actually kind of an open, it's a really nice metaphor, actually, because it's to Philemon in verse 1, but it's also to the whole gathering of believers, according to verse 2. Everybody was going to get to read Philemon's mail. So it was kind of in that way a postcard, you know. It wasn't sealed, just private for Philemon. Although maybe Philemon might have wished it was, but it was to Philemon and the whole gathering of believers there in Colossae. And the story of Philemon and Onesimus begins in verse 10. I'm just going to read a few verses here, and then again, I'd like to hear your thoughts on how this illustrates one of those. Examples of overcoming these biases. Philemon, verse 10, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, Paul writing to Philemon about Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains. Onesimus was saved while Paul was in prison. Who once, Onesimus, was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I'm sending him back. Okay, so apparently Onesimus, he's from Colossae, we saw. Apparently, he has got a connection with Philemon. You therefore receive him, that is, my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be by compulsion, as it were, but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me. But how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So what do you see here? I have a few thoughts, and I'm sure others do, up here in the front. But what are your thoughts? How does this passage, how can we use this to grow out of our verses in Colossians 3 and to build on this expression or this reality of unity in practice? What do we learn from this passage that will help us? You can still get half bonus points if you answer now. That was great.
No, maybe just the first thing he says, my son, Onesimus. So just show again the family in Christ.
Very nice.
That's his son.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Very nice.
And there's some other stuff.
Good. What else? Well, let me draw your attention to verses 15 and 16 as well to develop this. We've said in Colossians 3 that Christ is all and in all. What's the actual relationship between Philemon and Onesimus? It's a master and servant relationship, isn't it? In fact, not servant the way we think of somebody who just is employed, but master and slave. American slavery has a whole lot of other connotations. This is not that kind of slavery, but it is a very authoritative relationship. And Onesimus had that relationship to Philemon. And he still was going to have that relationship to Philemon. Onesimus is going back to Colossae. He still is in the employ, we might say. He still is under the authority of Philemon. Apparently, as we might surmise, he ran away from Philemon, came to Rome. Maybe he ended up in prison somehow for some minor offense and he's been released, or maybe he just ended up meeting Paul in the prison somehow, and not as a prisoner, but while Paul was a prisoner, maybe he met him. Don't exactly know the details. But now he became a Christian. He was not a Christian when he left Colossae. He became a Christian here in Rome, having met Paul. Now he's getting sent back. What's their relationship now? It says in verse 16, he's more than a slave. So it's really interesting to sort of look at these phrases. No longer as a slave, but is he no longer a slave, really? No, he's still a slave. He's more than a slave. He's a brother. And this tells us that in Christ, the relationships that are defined a certain way now have an entirely new lens for interpreting or describing that relationship. Now, they're believers together. Is Philemon still the master? Yes. Is Onesimus still the slave, the servant? Yes. But they're also brothers. And that ought to change everything. And so when we look at sort of the class kind of bias, the truth of the principles of unity overcome class bias. Here's someone in the upper echelons of society who has servants, who has slaves, who has authority, who has the ability to boss people around and have people wait on him. Here's somebody else who all he can do is just wait for directions. But when they pass each other in the hallway, how should they think of each other? Should Onesimus say, I can't believe he's going to tell me what to do again? No, he's my brother. Should Philemon say, this lowly slave, I hope he doesn't spill the soup like he did 2 weeks ago? No. I mean, he doesn't want him to spill the soup either. But how do you think of him? Not just as somebody who you boss around, he's your brother. What are the implications that we can get from this? And there are other examples. We'd like to consider several other examples in this vein. So if you think of others to add on to here, but this is really the a very powerful illustration. If we laid hold of this, it would change the way we think of everyone, every believer. Because whatever we are, we still are that, you know, in some natural level, but we're also brothers and sisters. So it affects everything, the way we look at each other.
Could I just add one word? Beloved brother.
Yeah, very nice.
Just beloved brother, not just brother.